This week on Straight Talk Africa. Tuesday night, U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump faced off for 90 high-stakes minutes in their first debate. Did one of them manage to sway undecided voters to their way of thinking? Nearly all the polls say the race is very close. We're less than 2 months away from Election Day. How important was this debate? Did we learn anything new about the two presidential candidates? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa. I'm your host, Vincent McCorry. Now, this was a much-anticipated debate. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump had never met before. Last night, Donald Trump had a new opponent that he needed to figure out how to deal with on stage, and Kamala Harris had to present herself what she stands for to these undecided voters. Did the candidates succeed in reaching their debate goals? What are the takeaways the day after the debate? Let's go to Catherine Gibson, U.S. congressional correspondent, who's still at the Philadelphia's National Constitutional Center, where the debate took place. Hi, Catherine.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Now, let's start with some of the highlights from last night's debate.
That's right. So I think one of the first highlights was right at the start of the debate, when the two candidates walked into the debate venue, met for the very first time, and there was a little bit of a negotiation about whether or not they would shake hands. Kamala Harris went almost beyond Trump's podium to make an effort to introduce herself, say, hello, I'm Kamala Harris, and shake his hand. And that's really important, because we know that when Donald Trump debates women, debates female presidential candidates, he tries to assert dominance. And so coming in right off the top, Kamala Harris established that they were equals and that they were going to be debating each other. Throughout the night, she was able to lay traps. And this is what we know from her prosecutorial background, is that she knows how to plant the seeds of an argument and then wait for her opponent to make a mistake. And in all honesty, Trump did do that throughout the night. He had opportunities to talk about immigration, about healthcare policy, about the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and each and every time he would be trapped by Kamala Harris into talking about himself, which is the argument of her campaign. She's always saying, look, Donald Trump's campaign is about himself and his grievances. I'm going to fight for you. She made that argument effectively last night.
But some also observe that in some of the questionings, she probably might have had a hard time defending her positions, especially when she was challenged on changing positions on some of her policies from the past. To what extent are people saying she managed to make a case for what she has made changes or shifted on in terms of positions?
Yeah, that's a great point, because as much as people are saying this morning that she seemed to have won the debate, there were also missed opportunities when she had to make the case that she has evolved on her views on certain issues. And that's going to be a really key argument to those undecided voters that are still out in America. We know that Donald Trump has about 35% to 40% of the American electorate who are standing by him. We know that Kamala Harris has very enthusiastic Democratic support. Debates aren't going to change those elements of the electorate. What they really need to speak to are those undecided voters. She needs to make the case that they shouldn't stay home on Election Day. They should go to the polls, because she's going to be fighting for them. Right now, early polling shows that a lot of Americans think she did make that case. 43% of Americans saying that she won that debate. So it will be very interesting to see how much of a bump that gives her in polls in the coming weeks.
At times it looked like actually the hosts were having a hard time getting them answer the direct questions that would digress to something else. How has been the reaction, and is that a very typical thing with debates?
That's so right. There were a lot of digressions in this debate. There were a lot of times when the hosts would ask a question about a policy issue, and we would be so far onto another topic by the end of the segment that it was hard to remember what the initial policy question was about. One of the things that I think was effectively done last night is that the hosts were fact-checking in real time, particularly with some of Donald Trump's more outrageous claims about Haitian immigrants eating cats and dogs and family pets in small towns in America. They fact-checked that. They also fact-checked his claim that abortion is allowed after the birth of a child. That is a claim that Trump's campaign regularly makes. That was shot down last night, too. So, well, the debate topics were sometimes scattered, the fact-checking was not.
Now, we know that each candidate had some goals. From what you're hearing, did they succeed in reaching those goals?
Well, I think Donald Trump's goal was just to show that he could be on message and on point, and he fumbled in a lot of those areas. He was not able to effectively make the argument about the Biden and Kamala Harris administration's immigration policy because he got sidetracked talking about his rallies and his followers. He also was asked about an alternative to Obamacare, the health care plan here in the United States. He said that he had, quote, the concept of a plan. Now, that's going to be a hard argument to make to voters that he is fighting for them if he doesn't have strong policy ideas. Kamala Harris also had to defend the administration's record on Afghanistan. So a lot both candidates had to do.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine. Catherine Gibson, VOA's congressional correspondent, now for more insight and into that debate and analysis of the performance of the two candidates vying for the White House. I'm joined by Joanna LeBlanc, national security law and foreign policy expert, and by Sylvester O'Kerry, political analyst and diaspora director of the Civil Society Organization on Community and Advancement and Humanitarian Empowerment Initiative. Welcome both to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Now, I'll start with the lady. To you, what stood out? What were some of the things that stood out that made you say, wow, that's something?
Well, first and foremost, I think Vice President Harris certainly overperformed. I think she delivered very well because there is a great segment of the U.S. population that is still unfamiliar with her and her policy. So I think she did a great job laying out some of her policy proposals, not all of them, but some of them. As you know, people vote for candidates for different reasons. People vote purely on policy, but there are people who vote because they like you. You have a nice personality. And Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, demonstrated a great personality. She was smiling, very welcoming, very friendly. But most importantly, she showed to the American people last night that she can be a commander-in-chief. Right, you saw how she took control of the conversation and even led Donald Trump down the rabbit hole when it comes to issues around immigration, which is an issue that the Republican and Donald Trump in particular have been so so eager and so passionate about and wanting to fix and saying that the Biden administration has messed up this country, but we're the party that's going to fix it and secure our borders and so on. But because of Vice President Harris's strategic ways of managing the debate, Mr. Trump was not able to convey that message to the American people in terms of what exactly would he do to address the border crisis. And also, one of her strongest points is on reproductive rights. I think she delivered her message from a very humanistic perspective, not just from a policy proposal. She talked about the woman in the parking lot bleeding, right, and not having access to resources because of restrictive laws that various states have in place currently. Mm-hmm. So overall, I think she delivered very well.
Sylvester, what are your highlights?
Well, first of all, I got disappointed when I saw that the debate turned to be a 3-1. And Kamala Harris, of course, we know she's very desperate to get the position. And someone who had been hiding for how many months now, weeks now, and all of a sudden, you come up with such a massive or impressive presentation. The question is, and that's the part that I love so much, that's the concluding debate that Trump asked him, if you know you're going to do this, why haven't you done it? Mm-hmm. You've been vice president, you've been in this administration for nearly 4 years. All this, if you're this smart, if you have these flamboyant proposals and so on, why didn't you do it? And again, they failed to ask her question about stealing most of Trump's policies. This is somebody who had been hiding, all of a sudden you flip-flop from fracking, from immigration, from defund the police, defund ICE. They didn't ask her those questions specifically. They even failed to ask her about border czar. What is a finding root cause? And what is the root cause you found? And why didn't the root cause stop the inflow of illegal immigrants into the country? So I love the way Trump concluded it. The question there to every voter is, why didn't you do this? And Trump asked her, there is no negotiation, no talking from here. Just go to the Congress and sign, close the border.
Yeah. I also noticed, though, Sylvester, that there was a question that was asked about shooting down a bill that would have strengthened the border protection and so empowered more the border the border patrol officials and all. But it wasn't answered why that was shut down and why the former president actually called members of Congress.
But as a border czar, you and I know she has never visited the border. Even when she was asked a question about the border, she said, I've never even been to Europe. What has Europe got to do with the U.S. border? Mm-hmm. The responsibility of a president is to provide security and well-being of the people. The border, if you can't secure the border, it means you cannot secure even a little community. Mm-hmm. So why are you border czar? That's your goal. That's your role. So she didn't do her job. She failed.
Now, Johan, in terms of the defense she made for some of the things that she was being accused of not having done, and also you can juxtapose those with, say, things that former President Trump promised to do and to achieve during his tenure, how well did she, as a lawyer, as a prosecutor, actually make a case for why she did not achieve some of those objectives?
I think one of Mr. Trump's biggest challenge is understanding how to campaign against Kamala Harris, right? Because his entire campaign strategy was about Biden. At the last minute, Mr. Biden said he's no longer seeking re-election, and he's endorsing Vice President Harris, right? So I think that's important to put out there. But in terms of how important it is for, I'm sorry, what was the question again? I'm
so sorry. The question is the extent to which she made a good defense for the accusations that she did not achieve mm-hmm. some of the things that she was supposed to have achieved given her position as VP at the time.
I think she tries to distance herself from the administration, the current administration, to a certain extent. But at the same token, when you're the vice president, it's kind of hard to say, you're not going to be a continuation of the current administration. I mean, it's incredibly hard. But I think she tried her best, and even throughout the debate, I think at least once she told Mr. Trump, "You're running against me, right? You're not running against Joe Biden." And I think that was very important. So I think that's the issue, right? Trying to position herself as a new candidate, but at the same time, making sure that the current establishment gets some credit for some of the work that has been done.
Yes. Sylvester, of course, we know that presidents or politicians make many promises, but when you look closely, in some cases, some of those don't get fulfilled. Some objectives don't get achieved. For example, the Health Care Act, the Obamacare, stayed, despite the fact that in the previous campaigns it was claimed that as soon as the new administration comes in, it will be repealed and replaced within no time. Mm-hmm. Now, does that speak to the fact that it's not possible for any candidate to actually achieve all the thought they wanted to achieve, or they wished to achieve during their time in office?
I will go, permit me to refer to what she just said, and I believe that very strongly. Trump was running against Joe Biden, and all of a sudden, there's a coup. They brought someone talking about abuse of democracy or threat to democracy. We know that you got to elect somebody. This woman was not elected, and you kept hiding, running away from press and so on. Now you are doing this. Whether she was just sitting for that 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever job for one debate. Okay, yeah, I agree with you. And that's the reason we shouldn't focus on politicians. Trump is not a politician. We need to focus on an achiever. And for me, in person, I tell individuals, I'm a straightforward human being. And why I love this man is that he's unpretentious. He doesn't pretend. I like somebody who's going to tell you, I will do this, he does it. And if looking at his past, Patrick Henry said you can judge the future by looking at the past. If you look at what he had done, you know he's going to do it again and massively. So ones are here, rhetoric and from capital, okay, from Attorney General to Senate and so on. What has Kamala achieved? No record. That's why she's distancing herself from Joe Biden.
But of course, we'll talk a little more about that and that the extent to which actual vice presidents have done any, achieved certain of those major policy goals. But right now, it's time for a short break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion at the presidential debate that took place last night. So stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Help. Wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
You're watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in.
Welcome back. We're discussing Tuesday's night U.S. presidential debate between U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. With me in studio to discuss it are Joanna LeBlanc, a national security law and foreign policy expert, and Sylvester O'Carey, a political analyst and diaspora director of the Civil Society Organization on Community and Advancement and a Humanitarian Empowerment Initiative. Now, Joanna, Sylvester said a number of things, including the fact that the Vice President Kamala Harris failed to achieve certain policy objectives. Talk about the extent to which actually vice presidents are held accountable for the failure of an administration to fulfill some of the campaign promises.
The reality is that, Vincent, vice presidents are there to support the objectives and policy proposals of the head of state. You're not there to overshadow the president, right? Let's think about previous vice presidents we've known in the past, right? Even Mike Pence, when he was vice president under Donald Trump. What are some of his accomplishments? What do we know about him, right? When you look at even Biden, when he was vice president to President Barack Obama, what are some of his accomplishments, right? Because the reality is that their job is to support the head of state. You know very little about them, what they're doing, what their personal policy agenda and proposals are. And that's how how it's always been, right? And I think that because Vice President Harris is a woman, we're now putting this pressure, asking, what has she done? She has been the Vice President of the United States, people. Wake up. And I think, and that's the unfortunate reality. When you are a woman, there's so much more that is expected of you, even though it's not the ordinary course of action, even though the standards may not be the same for other people. But I think ultimately, when it comes to last night's debate, I think, you know, there was a lot of pressure on her because she's a woman, right? And of course, because some are saying that she was not running against Donald Trump initially, it was Biden. But I think ultimately she over-delivered and she did a great job. Now, were there some missed opportunities for her to go deeper into some of her policy proposals? Absolutely. But overall, I think she delivered. And I think Mr. Trump also, even though it was not the best debate for him, but I think towards the end, in the end, he said, what have you done? You've been the vice president. You are the incumbent. What have you accomplished mm-hmm. for the American people? Yes. So I think that was a good point that yes. he made.
All right. Now, let's just keep with the debate. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of passion around mm-hmm. politics, around debate, around campaigns, and what people feel about their favorite candidate. But if we just stick to the articulation of policies in last night's debate, regardless of how everybody got where they are, I mean, they at the moment we have two people who are vying for the presidential seat. So that's a given. How they got there mm-hmm. is past now. But in terms of articulating policy, to what extent was that actually something that came out clearly from even, you know, both sides, regardless of what you feel about a candidate? But in terms of sticking with policy, mm-hmm. not so much of character assassination or dismissing somebody as you know, being unfit, but in terms of the policy, articulation.
Yeah, I thought that both of them were able to put out their policies. But the point is, as you know, Trump was speaking from his heart. And you can, while Kamala Harris is more like being scripted, you already plan her, especially when you have missed.
Yeah, so but let me ask this. You know, you can, is it about speaking from the heart or speaking on a realistic plan? In terms, because, for example, I want to just kind of drive a bit on an issue that we spoke about already. There's the border issue, for example, but also we talked about the health issue. For example, there has not been any new plan, even during the time when the House was under Republicans, any new health plan. And former President Trump acknowledged that the Affordable Care, Obamacare, is still going to be in place even if he becomes president, because nobody has come up with a brighter.
He said it last night. He said, I'm not president yet.
Yeah, but in all those years, mm-hmm. there was an acknowledgement that, for example, that still remains the best there can be at the moment. So what I was trying to draw from you is, in terms of just realistic policy, you know, some of those issues, to what extent are they clearly articulated? If you remove the emotions, you remove speaking, you know, with so much passion, but just the plan.
On the area of economy, which is affecting every one of us, because no matter what, every voter will vote their wallet. I don't care who I'm trying to defend or whatever. I pay for gas, I pay rent, I pay electricity, all of us here. So except if we're just trying to be used anyhow, every voter will focus on the economy, which is the inflation. And that policy is very clear, seeing what the last administration had done, and also remembering what Trump did during his administration. What was the price of gas? What was the price of egg? What was the price of grocery and so on? So, and we saw how it's messed up now. So the area of economy has already been streamlined. This is the best candidate that can handle it. Security, which is another part, because those two things are very important to any nation or community. Insecurity and people pouring in, taking jobs, that's a lot. Creating unemployment. Even the record they gave about job creation was not
factual. In terms of policy, I just wanted to, the reason why I wanted to talk about the extent to which this was articulated. For example, there was a question of how would you realistically deport 10, 12 million people? I don't know if there was an answer in terms of how that can actually be done practically. So, I mean, I'm trying to stick with the debate itself, not so much about the support of a party. My sister here, in terms of the vice president. Now, there are those who may say, we don't want to judge her for being a female and I'd make everything refer to her being a female candidate. She's a presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. It's a brutal business. So how well does she restore or give people the confidence that she can actually now, in the future, as a president now, tackle the issue of immigration, tackle the economy, and also even handle the issue of security that was brought up, that security is an issue in the country compared to other countries?
Listen, Vincent, Vice President Harris didn't get here by being mediocre, right? This woman is a former attorney general for the state of California, former senator, second black woman senator in the history of America. So you have to be exceptional to have achieved this level of success in America. We all know this, right? We all know that when it comes to this country, in order for black people, black women, to reach the highest level of success, you have to be almost impeccable for it to happen. So if she's been able to accomplish and became vice president of the United States of America, the strongest nation in the world. So for her to have achieved all of this, I think that given the opportunity, I think Vice President Harris can deliver. During the debate last night, she talked about, when it comes to the economy, providing a $25,000 tax credit to first-time home buyers. And as we know, in this country, one of the quickest ways to build wealth is through the purchase of property. And she also talked about the child tax issue. Child care in America is expensive. We are in a situation where you have families who have to decide who's going to work or who's going to stay home because they cannot afford child care. And she's proposing a $6,000 tax credit. So I think, again, given the opportunity, I think she can certainly deliver for the American people.
Yeah. Now, Sylvester, also wanted, people are curious, would they talk about foreign policy and especially relating to Africa? We know that a lot was said about Russia and Israel and Gaza, but anything that would have an impact on the African continent?
Of course, we know that America, the U.S. has no policy on Africa, none of them, from the beginning. But the fact is also George Bush Jr. Did a lot. He created PATHWA, which is the program to combat HIV. Mm-hmm. Trump himself strengthened religious freedom, which Blinken and Biden destroyed. Because, you see, we have a lot of, especially Nigeria, where I come from, a lot of insecurity. Mm-hmm. And that's why I sometimes ask most of the Nigerians here, every time people are going to the Congress to demonstrate and complain about genocide, about insecurity, Boko Haram here and there, well, you have an administration that hasn't done anything, that hasn't even condemned such acts that they are actually killing your people, then you are supporting individuals here that sympathize with terrorists. It's insanity.
Yeah, but in terms of, I wanted to know, that didn't, the issue of Africa and policy towards the continent didn't come out last night on the continent. Unfortunately, time will not allow us to continue.
Thank you.
We have to leave it right here. Thank you both the thought-provoking discussion and contributions. We appreciate your time. Johanna LeBlanc, National Security Law and Foreign Policy Expert, and Sylvester Okere, Political Analyst and African Diaspora Leader. Thanks to our affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk across the continent. Like us on Facebook, follow us on X, watch us also on YouTube, and let us know what you think. I'll see you next time.